Monday, it's a new episode of All Rise, the legal drama where one judge is shaking up the system.
When I take the bench, I'm taking a vow to fight for justice.
One case at a time.
Your Honor,
we're going to trial.
Simone Missick is Judge Lola Carmichael.
Up on that bench. Everything is different.
A new episode of All Rise.
Freedom is at stake.
It's important.
Followed by a new episode of Bull, Monday at 9, 8 central on CBS.
Monday, it's the CBS original comedy, The Neighborhood.
I need at least a month to prepare for a debate, not 6 hours.
Actually, it's 4 hours.
Now my watch is broken, too.
With Cedric the Entertainer, Max Greenfield, and guest star Wayne Brady.
You gotta fund the schools or graduate fools.
I stole all my lines.
Look, don't worry, I got a plan.
Okay, well, what is it?
Okay, so I don't have a plan.
A new episode of The Neighborhood.
You're gonna have to give them a show.
Monday, 8, 7 central on CBS.
Well, good Sunday morning to you. This is the David Chadwick Show. David is on sabbatical this weekend. Both David and I thought we would encore a show that we aired last month. The topic is heaven. Again, welcome to the David Chadwick Show.
Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110-99.3 WBT. Welcome to the show. In case you don't know, this is a faith and values program that tries to give you insights into faith and values to help you today, throughout the week, and all days. I'm joined by my friend Ed Billick, my producer, as a part of this show today, and I really thank you for joining me. Many thanks also to Ruth Chris Steakhouse and also Perry's Fine Jewelry for your sponsorship of the show. Without your sponsorship, I could not do this on a weekly basis now over 20 years. What a fun ride it has been. Ed, good morning.
Good morning, David. Welcome Sunday morning here on News Talk 1110 WBT.
Yeah, well, we're going to talk about heaven today. We teased it last week, and I'm going to try to give some biblical insights into what heaven is going to be like. We're going to spend a whole lot more time there than we do here, for sure.
Are you going to talk about hell or whatever hell is?
We can reference to that.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, we will talk about that. It is biblical as well. In fact, we have more teachings from the lips of Jesus about hell than other subjects that we also consider important, like marriage or parenting or whatever. He talked more about the reality of hell, and we'll talk about why that's important as well. But before we do the show today, I'd like to ask you, as a practicing Catholic, your faith is very important to you. You attend worship every week that you're able to. Your faith is very real to you. We've had Amy Coney Barrett be nominated as a Supreme Court Justice, and a lot of debate has come about over her commitment and her husband's and family's commitment to something called the People of Praise. As I understand it, it's something her father, who was a lawyer, got involved in during what's called the Charismatic Renewal of the 1970s and 80s that still lasts today. He was influenced by that, became a part of that community of faith and expression, and she has followed suit because it was very meaningful to her personal family. Raised in New Orleans, then moved to South Bend, Indiana after a stint at Rhodes College and her law studies, and now is obviously a Supreme Court nominee. Do you know anything about the People of Praise and why that's such an issue in today's culture? If you don't, I'll give you some insights.
Go for it.
Okay. Well, the People of Praise, again, founded in the 1960s and 70s as a part of the Charismatic Renewal, is made up of Catholics and Protestants. It has no particular denominational affiliation. It actually has been affirmed by Pope Francis. It has been called a part of the mainstream Catholic thought. And again, Amy Coney Barrett's family, her father, and her personal family is a part of the People of Praise. It's for people to get together and to understand the fullness of the Holy Spirit. The charismatic movement was simply the invitation of the Holy Spirit to perfectly control your life in every area. There are some manifestations of the Spirit's life in people in what's called speaking in tongues. It's a prayer language, if you will. It's a heavenly language, is what the Apostle Paul called it. In fact, probably the most outstanding member of the People of Praise would have been the Apostle Paul in the Bible. He was fully filled with the Holy Spirit, and he operated in his charismata, his charismatic gifts. He actually said, I wish all of you spoke in tongues like I do. So that is an expression of the People of Praise, but it's mostly being filled with the Holy Spirit under the obedience of what God desires for your life, and then living that out perfectly. Again, made up of Protestants and Catholics, affirmed by Pope Francis, considered fairly mainstream within Protestant and charismatic traditions. And for the life of me, I can't understand why it's such a big deal, except for this. Some people look at the People of Praise's commitment to the woman being like the Virgin Mary, when the Holy Spirit came upon her and she was visited by the angel Gabriel and told that she would bear the Christ child. Interestingly, she submitted herself, and in Luke 1:38 in the King James Version, she says, "I am the Lord's handmaiden." And that's where this handmaiden servant kind of idea from the very feminist perspective supposedly got started, but it's not true. An author used that term. Mary's the first one to use the term. And we, of course, believe that Mary was a maidservant of the Lord and is an example in the Catholic tradition and really in the Protestant tradition, too, of a woman fully submitted to God. And so that's where it all came from. And I find it ludicrous that they're trying to raise this as an issue, because what they're really saying is they're questioning Amy Coney Barrett's Catholicism.
Well, what is the issue?
Well, I don't know. The issue is to try to capture her in some kind of narrow-minded conservatism, which makes it seem like in her submission to her husband and in her understanding of the Holy Spirit, she has invited a conservatism that just isn't going to be appropriate on the Supreme Court.
Yeah, how do you paint a good thing bad?
Well, I don't know, Ed, and you and I have talked some. Is if you really love the Lord, you're going to obey everything he says for you to do in your tradition, in your scripture. That's important, and so I don't understand how anybody could even, for example, call themselves a practicing Catholic or a practicing Protestant under the authority of the Pope and the doctrines and the scripture and all those things, and then also be pro-life.
And it's not possible.
It's not possible. You can't say that it's okay to kill a child right before the child is born and say you're a deeply committed, filled with the Holy Spirit, practicing Christian. It's impossible. So I wanted to address that as we moved into today's message. It's just so important, I think, to note, because if you're going to believe, you've got to believe, and you're going to have to practice that faith as well. And let's talk about heaven when we come back.
Let's do it.
It's going to be an interesting conversation today. I'm David Chadwick, and we will be right back.
Y'all ready?
I'm ready. That's my friend Travis Green, one of his hit songs. Yeah, it's a great time to think about what our life with Jesus is really like. Not only now, but in heaven, where we will have his glory and love forever. My friend Travis called me last week after the presidential debates and just said, "Can't we do better than this?" Yet I can't help but think of that. Can't we do better than this? Out of all the candidates in the country, can't we have two that quit slinging mud at each other? At least the vice presidential debates this past week were a little more civil.
Yes.
At least they behaved. And at least they were politicians. At least they talked. Even though you may disagree with one or the other, at least they were conversing with one another.
There's a little respect for each other in such a way. All right, David, heaven. There are things that we know to be true, and then there are things we think that are true. So I've been looking forward to this show because I love your insights. So what do we know? Do we know about heaven, and why is there a heaven? When we leave this world, what happens?
Well, let's start here. Genesis 1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." So God is eternal. Every parent out there who has children and they've tried to raise them in the faith have been offered this question from their kids. If God made us, who made God? And of course, God is eternal. No one made God. He has always existed. But at some point in his existence, he created the heavens and the earth. So the heavens, plural, is a part of God's created order. And we're going to look in just a little bit how there are three heavens that the Bible outlines for us, and we'll see kind of what happens in each one. But God also created the earth, this world in which we live. Both of them were a part of his creation. The word that's used there in the Hebrew for creation is bahra, B-A-R-A. It means creation from nothing. The fancy Latin phrase is creatio, ex nihilo. You know, when you have a table, for example, you needed a tree in order to be cut down to model that table. Well, when God created the heavens and the earth, there was nothing beforehand to exist to allow those things to be created. God merely spoke a word and everything came into existence. By the way, that understanding and that commitment paves the way for a belief in miracles. A lot of people today in their philosophical naturalism don't want to believe in miracles. If you don't have a scientific explanation for it, you just can't explain it. But, you know, there are too many miracles that exist all around us that we still see today. There are miracles in the Bible. And any of us, like my wife and I, who've traveled around the world, have experienced people who have had miraculous occurrings in their life. I know this is hard for some people to believe, but we met someone in India when we traveled there who'd been raised from the dead. She was dead. She was on the funeral pyre, and someone was praying, and God brought her back to life. And people say, that seems impossible. You know, Jesus being raised from the dead was impossible. Moses parting the Red Sea with a staff seems impossible. But here's the deal, Ed. If you believe Genesis 1:1, that God created from nothing this world, if God did that, raising somebody from the dead is a piece of cake.
Yeah, right.
That's not difficult for God. So he created the heavens that are in existence. So that's the first place you start. God created the heavens. He created the earth. We're to live here on earth now. One day we're going to live in the heavenlies and on earth as well, which we'll expose in just a little bit. And also you need to believe, as people ask the question, well, is it really true? You got to go to what Jesus said about it. And for those of us who are Christians, we believe in one God in three persons, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus is the second person of the Godhead, God in human flesh. And use this illustration, Ed, when you're talking about Jesus coming and dwelling among us. Why did he do so? Well, God knew that he had to communicate to us in a way that we would understand. As the eternal God of the universe, he had to enshroud himself in human flesh so that we could hear his words in our perspective. It'd be much like if we saw a bird that was going to die, and we knew that if we could get that bird to come down and enter into this particular place, that bird would live. And we had all power, and we wanted that bird to live. What's the best way of communicating to that bird? Become a bird. You take on the bird flesh, go communicate to that bird, here's the way to come into this place and live. Well, God became a bird, if you will. Chili con queso, you know, chili with flesh in Spanish. Well, it's God con queso, God with flesh. God put on human flesh called the incarnation. And Jesus came to tell us eternal truths in language, style, and form that we could understand. So if Jesus is the second person of the Godhead, if the Father said to the Son at one point in eternality, in history, I want you to go into this world, take on human flesh, to communicate to these people who are fallen the way to that place where they can live forever, the way to eternal life. And the Son willingly submitted himself to the Father and took on that human flesh and came to live among us and to tell us how to go home and be free, how to go home and be safe, how to go to heaven and live forever with our Father in heaven. Then he's the one who said to us in John 14:1, don't let your heart be troubled. I find that so fascinating because we do let our hearts become troubled, don't we?
Oh, absolutely.
Jesus said, don't let it happen. We control anxiety. We control fear. We control the thoughts that come into our minds.
Did he also say somewhere, you'll be with me?
That's the next verse, Ed. He said, don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Believe in the Father. Believe also in me. For I go to heaven to prepare a place for you. And if it weren't so, I would tell you. I just love that. Jesus said, I'm going to heaven to prepare a place for you. Now, some people have translated that as a mansion. It may well be that we're going to have a beautiful big mansion there. It really just means dwelling place. It means that Jesus is preparing a dwelling place for us there. Part of that dwelling place is the eternal body that we'll live in, a physical body that will be perfectly healthy and whole and always won't ache or have pains or get diseases like our present ones. We'll be given an eternal body, physical in every way, that will never hurt. But it also could be a physical dwelling place where we'll live. Bottom line, though, he says, I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And this is the part I love, Ed. If it weren't so, I would have told you. In other words, he's saying to us, this is really true. What I'm about to go do, to go to heaven, to prepare a place for you, your eternal physical body, but also your eternal dwelling place. I'm not lying to you. If this wasn't true, I would tell you it wasn't true, but he's saying this is true.
Now, as a kid growing up in Catholic grade school, the nuns would tell us, and that's heaven, and to get there, you got to follow God's rules, okay? This is a test here on earth. And your thoughts, I mean, what do you have to do to get to heaven, and what did God tell us?
Well, I think the scripture is really clear on this. The way you get to heaven is by believing in Jesus. So he came to live among us, to live the perfect life none of us can live. We're all sinful folks. I mean,
it's a broken world.
It is a terribly broken world. And when Adam sinned in the garden in Genesis chapter 3, he became our representative head in all humanity. And when he fell, every person in his loins fell. Guess who that is? That's every person on the face of this earth. We're all conceived in sin. We all have a bent towards sinness. And here's the deal. If you don't believe that, have a kid.
Well, you said that a couple of weeks ago. I've shared that. Say it again.
It's so true. If you don't believe in the doctrine of original sin, that at the moment of conception, we are bent toward selfishness, we're bent toward the world revolving around us, just have a child. Because every parent in here, you know, I have three children. Ed, how many do you have?
We have two, and now we'll have two grandchildren.
And you see it in your grandchildren. I have soon to be eight grandchildren. You see that they want the world to revolve around them. And I ask parents this question. Do you have to teach your children to obey or disobey? I mean, the obvious answer is every parent has to teach their kids how to obey. They try to bend their will toward what is right because their will is bent toward disobedience, selfishness, and independence. So in all of our ways, we've wandered far from God. We've lived life on our own terms. The Bible says we're sinners. The word sinners just means we've missed the mark. God's mark is perfection. We've missed that mark terribly. So if we continue on that trajectory, we're going to go to hell, which we'll talk about in just a moment. But if we go to Jesus and believe in his death on the cross to forgive us of our sins, to change our nature, and that salvation, eternal life, heaven is a gift to us by grace, that's the way you get there. That's what Jesus meant when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
No, belief is the first part, but there has to be action.
Right. And you have the expression of your faith through works. You're not saved by your good works, but you're saved for good works. And good works proves the faith that you have in your heart. So if you believe in Jesus and you're not doing any good works, I would have to challenge whether you really believe in him. Good works are the proof that Jesus is Lord of your life, for he has commanded us to care for the poor, be compassionate for things like justice, to love people who are in difficult situations, feed the hungry, clothe the naked, give water to the thirsty. All of those different commands are proofs that he truly is Lord of our lives. But we only get to heaven by grace, because if we could work our way into heaven, as Ephesians 2, 9 and 10 says, God would never hear the end of it. We'd be walking down the streets of heaven. We'd see Jesus and go, hey, Jesus, let me remind you of all the good works I did to earn salvation. No, we're here only because Jesus did the work of salvation. Then our good works prove that love which is in our hearts.
You know, in the next segment, we'll talk about physically what is heaven, what will it be like. But before we do that, there's an anxiety that goes along with this. There's a hope. Am I good enough?
Yeah. Well, the truth is we're never good enough. All of us are sinners and fall far short of the glory of God. And we recognize that. I mean, we look at Jesus and we see his perfect life and we go, man, I don't live up to that. That's what God wanted every human being to be, Jesus. And we fall far short of that. Jesus, the perfect God-man. So we cry out, you know, what must I do to be saved? And Jesus said, there's nothing you can do. You're never going to be good enough. So believe in me, accept my free gift of eternal life, and then when you do so, you're guaranteed heaven, and then you do good works here on this earth trying to promote, advance the kingdom of God, because you know that's what he would want you to do, your Lord and your Savior who gave you the gift of eternal life. But then after you die and that last breath is taken here, you go to heaven and the first face you'll see is his. I love that idea. I want to give an illustration of what that will be like on the other side of the break as we continue to talk about this very important subject, heaven, where we're going to go if we believe in the Lord Jesus. I'm David Chadwick. We'll be right back.
Dear Jesus, help me to spread your fragrance everywhere that I go.
Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. Welcome back to the show. It's a great word for us. If we really do love the Lord, we are to spread His fragrance around to everyone, to be His hands, His feet, His love, advance His kingdom, care for people who aren't cared for, and to be His love to people who don't feel loved. If you'd like to hear this program in its entirety as we talk about this subject of heaven, please go to WBT.com, scroll down to the weekend shows, look for the David Chadwick Show, and you can hear the program from beginning to end. Heaven. Well, you know, Fanny Crosby wrote a lot of the great Protestant hymns of the faith. She was blind from birth. She couldn't see a thing. And she was asked the question near the end of her life, "Don't you regret not being able to see anything here on this side of eternity?" Her answer was compelling. She said, "No, not at all." She said, "Because the first face I'll see in heaven when I'm granted sight is the face of Jesus." That's great faith. And that's also a deep love for the Lord that she had, and hopefully all of us have as well, because until we get to heaven, we know that pleases His heart in heaven. Well, Ed, we're talking about this subject of heaven, and it's so compelling because so many people want to go there. And I think we need to remind people of how beautiful it is and how purposeful it is and how we should look forward to it.
Somewhere along the line, you have the life experiences or people that have said they've seen the great light and have been coming back.
Right.
And we could talk, how true is that? Is that really, do you believe that that is a clue for us?
I do believe that. And the numbers are extraordinary. They number in the thousands of people who have had.
What's that, near-death experiences?
Near-death experiences, NDEs. And of course, some of them were actually pronounced dead here, and they came back to life. Doctors have no explanation of it, and when they go, they see a bright light. Interestingly, there's one story of a young boy, I think 4, 5, 6 years of age, died, went to heaven, came back to life here, and told his mom and dad that he met his little brother. And the mom and dad went, "What are you talking about? You're an only child." And then they gasp as they realize that she'd had a miscarriage. And I really believe those miscarriages, those babies, are in heaven, because God's the one who fertilized that egg. God's the one who made that life begin. And that life is in heaven. So I think every listener out there who's gone through a miscarriage, you can believe that you will see your baby in heaven. And I think God give you the privilege of somehow interacting with that child. I don't know if you'll be able to raise the child. I'm not sure about that. The scripture doesn't teach it. But for sure, you'll be able to see that child, know that child, and love that child, because no life is by happenstance. All life is created by God. For those of you who may have had an abortion, you know that I and Ed both believe strongly in pro-life. If you've had an abortion, it's a sad thing, a choice that you made. I can't begin to tell you how sad I am that you had to face that, but you'll see your child again and receive the Lord's forgiveness. Abortion's not the unpardonable sin. You know, we all do things that break the heart of God, and that's why we need grace. That's why we need forgiveness. Ed, you asked me earlier, who's in heaven? It's forgiven people. That's the only people who are there, forgiven people. And you really get in either through the forgiveness of Jesus or not. And those who are in heaven all know the gracious forgiveness of Jesus. And those of you, again, who've had an abortion, you'll meet your child as well, because heaven is stocked with people who just love Him. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me." I think all the little children who die early go straight into the arms of Jesus.
And you and I were talking of all of our loved ones, and as Christians, we believe they're all in heaven.
Yeah, I would say so.
I mean, even maybe they didn't have the best lives or maybe meet up to our expectations, but God is all forgiving.
Yeah.
On their deathbed, I don't know.
For sure. And, you know, God's a whole lot more merciful than we are. And that if somebody cries out in their last breath these words, "Have mercy on me, O God," and they really mean it, God's going to be merciful to them. People ask me, what about all those who've never heard about the name of Jesus? Well, my answer there is, according to Romans 1, God judges in accordance with what they
listen,
do know.
Now, listen, that's not a get-out-of-jail-free card. You know, you can't throughout your life then the last minute say, "I'll kind of reconcile."
Oh, but Ed, grace is grace, isn't it? I mean, if
who are we to judge?
If grace is grace, it means that God forgives according to His grace, not our works. So if somebody comes in at the last minute, then that's given to the gift of eternal life is given to them by God's grace. If somebody works all of their life for the Lord and they get in, that's given to them by grace as well. The illustrations, the parable in the Bible of the person who comes at 7 a.m. and works all day long gets a reward. The person who comes in at 5 p.m. works only an hour but gets the same reward. The objection is, how can that be? And if it's by grace, God can do whatever he wants to do, and he can reward as he wants to reward. And I'm just so thankful it is by grace and not by my works, because how do you know if you've ever worked enough? You'll live on this side of eternity always anxious, have I done enough? Am I good enough? Like you asked me in the last hour. And the truth is, none of us are good enough. And salvation, eternal life, heaven is given to us by grace through faith.
One thing I'd like, I always say, gosh, if you know the final judgment is passed, can I appeal the decision?
No, you can't. You know, when you die, that's your chance. I mean, Hebrews 9:27 says one life, one judgment. And we've got to realize that there's just one life and one judgment. Reincarnation's not true. With much respect to my Hindu friends, my karma friends out there, you don't get another chance. You're not reincarnated to a higher life form because of your works. It's all by grace. And when we go before the Lord, it's going to be this simple question: why should I let you into my eternity? And if you start appealing to your good works, God's going to go, how good is good enough? But if you say, you know, I'm here only because I know Jesus forgave me, that's the entrance card into heaven.
You had something from Ephesians that you wanted to share with us.
Yeah, Ephesians 2:6 says that if we believe in Jesus, we're seated with him right now in the heavenlies. That Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. Many Christians know that phrase. That just means we're at the place, that he's at the place of authority next to the Father in heaven, ruling over all eternity. But Ephesians 2:6 says that we're right next to Jesus in eternity, ruling with him right now. And for those who have a bit of a low ID, if you're not self-esteemed enough, just think about that. That right now, if you believe in Jesus, you're seated next to him, ruling over all eternity as his special child. That should increase your self-awareness, your self-identity, and allow you to keep moving through the day in a positive way. But also, Ed, Revelation 21 gives us some great insights into what heaven looks like. Let me read these verses right now. It says, John, who is the revelator, the one who wrote the book, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride and adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is now with man. Just think about that.
Is that the second coming?
That is after the second coming, when we are with the Father in heaven. For that's what this is saying. And he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. That's a picture of heaven. And it suggests there are not going to be oceans in heaven, that there's going to be kind of a glassy sea, almost like a mirror of what used to be water here on the new earth. God's going to take this earth and make it like he originally intended to be, without all of the pain and suffering that's in this earth, without all the garbage and ways we've wasted this earth. It's going to be recreated as God originally intended. And when we live here in it, God wants us to live on this earth forever. The new heaven will be created because Satan has access to God, accusing us all the time. That's not going to happen anymore. So God's going to make a new heaven, and he'll make a new earth here, where all of that which has bound this earth in decadence will be taken away, and we're going to live here in its beauty and splendor, and there are going to be no tears, no trials, no turmoil, no tribulations.
So Satan will be extinguished. There will be no devil.
He's in hell. Matthew 25:41, Jesus said hell was created by the Father for the devil and his angels. Hell was not originally created for you and me. It was created for the devil and his angels. But people who live in accordance with Satan's will and his desires and don't have forgiveness, they're going to join him there forever. We don't have to go there, though. It's funny, Calvin Coolidge, one of our former presidents, was one time with his cabinet, and one insulted the other, and the one who was insulted looked at President Coolidge and said, did you hear what he just said to me? He said I should go to hell. And President Coolidge looked at him and said, well, what do you want me to do about it? And he said, well, what do you have to say to him? And Coolidge said, you don't have to go there. And that's the good news, Ed. We don't have to go there. We're headed toward there, but God intervened through his love through Jesus, and we don't have to go there. He's going to create a new heaven and a new earth, and this new heaven and new earth that are going to be joined together. Remember these verses? John said the new Jerusalem comes down. There's going to be a melting together of heaven and earth. I think we're going to be able to live here on this earth and step into heaven and step from heaven into this earth. We're going to be doing all kinds of wonderful things for the Lord. Work's going to still be in heaven. Let's talk about that on the other side of the break. We're going to have work to do. We're not just going to float around on a cloud.
I had 10 questions when I came in here this morning and see if you answered them all, and we'll reconcile that when we come back.
Well, that's the one I want to look at. There's going to be work in heaven. We're not going to be just floating around
on a cloud.
Will
there be a David Chadwick show?
Only if you allow it.
Well, God allows.
I don't know if there's going to be radio. My guess is we'll be right back. Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Welcome back to the show. We've spent most of the show talking about heaven with my friend Ed Billick. And, Ed, have you ever asked the question, how old will you be in heaven? You know, it's eternal. There's no timeline because there's no end. And many people have suggested maybe that Jesus died at 33, that our new resurrection bodies, which will be perfect and whole, that will be like 33 years of age in a body here, but it'll be healthy and perfect and whole in every possible way.
So we'll be able to recognize each other.
We will be. In fact, Jesus in his resurrection body, when he walked with the two disciples on the road to Emmaus in Luke 24, at first they didn't recognize
him. That's right.
But they finally did in the way that he broke the bread. There was something in the way they recognized in breaking the bread that they said, that's the Lord. And I've wondered, for example, when I get to heaven, someone will walk up to me and I might not first recognize him. And then in the way he moves and the way he talks and the way he gestures, I'm going to say, oh, that's you, Dad. That's you.
See that.
Because I didn't know Dad when he was like 30. There was no way. You know, I don't remember him then. I wasn't born until he was like 34, 35.
I don't know about that, and that's pretty nice to think about, but there's no clock. There's no time. There's not like we have another, you know, how many minutes in this segment. We're not going to be days. So how long will we be in heaven? And what's our next project?
Forever.
Oh, there is no next project.
There's no next. We will do what the Lord commands us to do.
We can't imagine that.
But the scripture does suggest in some of Jesus' parables that there are going to be works that we have to do in the continued building of God's kingdom, maybe in eternity. Maybe there's a project on Mars. Maybe there's a project in that galaxy way over there that God wants us to do. We're going to be able to step in and outside of earth to the new heaven. And I think God's going to be calling those of us who are faithful here to have us be faithful over things in greater
detail
in heaven.
But we'll all be faithful. We'll all be willing.
Right. But what's implied by Jesus is our faithfulness here is going to make us more faithful there. And God's going to give us more responsibility there for our faithfulness here. So we do have works to do. We have a need to obey. And there are eternal rewards that are granted for us, even though we're saved by grace through faith. We do good works, and our do good works then give us eternal rewards. The Bible suggests they are crowns that Jesus gives us. But then what's so interesting, one of the great hymns of the faith, Holy, 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 we cast those golden crowns around the glassy sea because we know even the ability to work for Jesus is all because of his grace. It's all about him. It's all about his glory. And that's what will be going on in heaven.
That's like when we kids will say, well, we're stored up some graces so we can count them in or we can redeem them. Here's a good one for you. And a lot of us, David, a lot of my family members are animal lovers.
Yeah, well, you know, there's
dogs, cats, horses.
I can't guarantee biblically that your present pet is in heaven waiting for you.
Oh, come on now.
I know that may make some people angry, but let me say this. I'm not sure they're not.
He doesn't know, folks. He knows a lot.
I don't know for sure, but here's what I do know. There are animals in heaven. Because Jesus said the lion will lie down with the lamb, for example, that he returns on a white horse. So there are implications throughout the scripture that heaven has animals all over the place. So my guess is if your present pet isn't there, you'll have a wonderful one there that you will continue to be able to enjoy.
I see a lot of us do believe our pets will be there.
And that's okay. You know, I don't know. That's one of those I'm an agnostic on, which means I just don't know. And if it's so, great. If it's not so, there'll be something better. That's all I know to tell people. And the Bible's not clear on your exact pet now, but it is clear that there will be animals in heaven.
Great show. Positive, upbeat. It's something we look forward to.
Yeah, I think all of us need to have positives in our lives, and we all need something to look forward to. It is called hope. And that's why the Bible refers to it as a living hope and a heavenly hope. Basically, Ed, it's saying to all of our listeners that this world is not all that there is. There is one beyond this one that's perfect and beautiful in every possible way. And as we look at this world in all of its rancor and anger, all of the hostilities that surround us, we can say there's going to be a day when God's going to dab all the tears in our eyes, and we're going to live in a place where none of that anger, none of that angst, none of that hurt exists whatsoever. So we live this life to the full, but we always have an eye to our heavenly home, and that allows us to face anything and everything without fear. And just think what it's going to be like when you close your eyes and you go to sleep here. The Bible says that death is really like sleep. It's obviously going to be like going to sleep. So we go to sleep here. This body we're in right now dies. It doesn't have any more usage for us. And our spirits, who we really are in our souls, that's taken out and is immediately in the presence of Jesus. Then there's that promise that when he returns to this earth and makes a new earth, we'll all be granted that new resurrection body in which we'll live. It's physical in its ways. It looks like we'll be able to eat in heaven. Jesus ate with his resurrection body. He ate fish on the shore of the Sea of Galilee with his disciples. It looks like he drank with his resurrection body. So that's something to look forward to in heaven, that we'll be able to eat and drink and not worry about calories, not worry about having to put on weight.
And your Tar Heels will never lose another game.
Oh, my. You know what? I think that the Lord is a Tar Heel, because why is the sky Carolina blue?
You know, gosh,
it's got to be the thing.
You got your shirt on today. Look at you.
It's true that God loves us so much, folks, and he wants us to have an eternal home, an eternal dwelling place. And if I could remind everyone here, as you do believe in the Lord, Philippians 3:20 says, our citizenship is in heaven. We are citizens of that place. And really, Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that we are ambassadors of that heavenly home to this world. We are representing Jesus in this world. Until we go be with him forever, we're citizens of heaven and we're ambassadors of him here. So make sure you're a good ambassador. What does an ambassador do? He represents one nation in another nation, and he tries to give that nation where he lives in a good impression of the nation where he is a citizen of. You're a citizen of heaven, folks, but make sure you give Jesus a good rep, that you are an ambassador of him as you live here, so that people around you will want to love him like you do as well. That gives you a heavenly hope. It gives you a purpose here. You continue to work for him, knowing you're going to get an eternal reward as you are faithful to him, but even those rewards are cast at his feet, because you know all of it comes from his glory and by his grace. Isn't that a beautiful picture, Ed? No pain, no turmoil, no trial in heaven, no tears, no difficulties, and we're going to work for the Lord, doing what he calls us to do, and we'll be pleased because we're doing it all for him.
Mm. We have a few seconds here, 30 seconds or so. Let's say a little prayer.
Father, you are the Lord of heaven. You created it, and that's our home. And we look forward to being with you forever. Thank you for that hope we have in our hearts. May we continue to allow it to grow every single day. As we do so, we know that we are able to live in perfect union life with you and do your good works until we go home to be with you. Thank you for the privilege of loving you. Thank you for calling us to be your children. Thank you that we can rest in you in every possible way. I still pray for all those who are fearful of the coronavirus, that they wouldn't get it. For those who've had it, Lord, thank you that they've been healed. And for those who've gone on to be with you because they caught it, Lord, take care of them. We love you. We praise you. We honor you. And may we always have a heart for our neighbors. You said, Lord, to love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and might, and to love our neighbors as ourself. The proof of our love for you is how we love our neighbors. May we be concerned for the poor, the needy. May we be concerned for justice and righteousness in every possible way. For as we do so, Lord, your heart is pleased. Thank you, Daddy, for listening to this prayer, for being with us in this broadcast. We love you, we praise you, we honor you, and it's in Jesus' name I offer all of this. Amen. Look forward to talking with you all, folks, next week.
Monday, it's a new episode of All Rise, the legal drama where one judge is shaking up the system.
When I take the bench, I'm taking a vow to fight for justice.
One case at a time.
Your Honor.
We're going to trial.
Simone Missick is Judge Lola Carmichael.
Up on that bench. Everything is different.
A new episode of All Rise.
Freedom is at stake.
It's important.
Followed by a new episode of Bull, Monday at 9, 8 central on CBS.
Monday, it's the CBS original comedy, The Neighborhood.
I need at least a month to prepare for a debate, not 6 hours.
Actually, it's 4 hours.
No, my watch is broken too.
With Cedric the Entertainer, Max Greenfield, and guest star Wayne Brady.
You gotta fund the schools or graduate fools.
I stole all my lines.
Look, don't worry, I got a plan.
Okay, well, what is it?
Okay, so I don't have a plan.
A new episode of The Neighborhood.
You're gonna have to give them a show.
Monday, 8, 7 central on CBS.